Colossians chapter number 2 tonight. Colossians chapter number 2. If you need a handout, just lift your hand up high. Our ushers will come straight to you right now. They're in the back walking up the aisle. They'll be glad to give you a handout if we missed you tonight. All right, Colossians chapter 2. We're going to focus in on verses 16 and 17 tonight. I thought I was going to get to the angels verses there in verse 18. We're actually going to get to that next Wednesday. I want to go ahead and get to verses 16 and 17 tonight. Next week, we'll get to the verse 18 about worshiping of angels and seeing these things. And we'll get into that next Wednesday, which will coincide with what we're doing on Sunday morning and Sunday night right now in our angel series. But, you know, just, you know, to kind of review here, if you look at verse 10, that's the key to the whole book. Verse 10, he says, "And ye are complete in him." He said, man, you're complete in Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. Now here's the point that we're going to get to here tonight. We're going to come to verse 16, and look how it starts. "Let no man therefore" what? "Judge you." Don't let any man judge you. Well, okay, what led up to that? Well, if we're complete in Christ, verse 10, if I've been circumcised in Christ, verse 11, if I have been baptized by the Holy Spirit into Christ, verse 12, if I have complete forgiveness of all my sins, verse 13, if the law, the Old Testament law, has been blotted out and torn in pieces, verse 14, if Satan, our great accuser, if he's been defeated thoroughly at the cross, verse 15, if all those things are true, then Paul says, here's what I want to tell you. His conclusion is this, verse 16, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." You know what he's saying right there? He's saying, look, you Colossian believers, don't you allow these religious legalists to come in and put a yoke of bondage on your neck and say, you have to do this, or you have to do that, or you have to keep this Old Testament command, or this Old Testament ritual, this religious ritual, in order to be accepted of God. He says, no, don't let them come in and judge you. He says, the cross has canceled the debt. But listen, not only has the cross canceled the debt of the law, the cross has also canceled the dominion of the Old Testament law over us. And that's what he's trying to get across here. False teachers were coming in and telling these believers that they needed to keep aspects of the Old Testament law system in order to be accepted by God and truly experience a deeper spiritual life. You say, man, does that go on in our day and age? Well, let me ask you, does it? Are there people who come along and they say, you got to keep this ritual, or you got to do this religious deed, or you have to keep this certain law of our church or our religion, if you really want to be accepted by God, if you want to reach this spiritual plateau, if you want to have this deeper spiritual life, then you need to do this and this and this, and they got these rules and requirements. You think that goes on today? All the time. Just channel surf the religious networks. It goes on all the time. These particular Jewish legalists were coming in and they were telling these Gentile believers that three things, it's in your handout, and they're all there in verse 16. They were teaching that they must keep, number one, Jewish dietary laws. That they had to keep the Jewish dietary laws. That's what he means when he talks about in meat or in drink. And a lot of you know this. Under the Old Testament law, there were certain animals that were called clean by God, and Israel was allowed to eat those animals. There were other animals under the law that were unclean. For instance, pork, any type of a pig or hog would be considered unclean. They were not allowed to eat that. And Paul says, don't let them come in and judge you in dietary laws, in dietary restrictions. Keep your bookmarker here in Colossians 2. We're going to come right back. And just go to the right a few books and go over to 1 Timothy. Through Thessalonians, you're going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. Now, Paul talks about there in verse 1, he talks about how people are going to depart from the faith, 1 Timothy 4, 1, and they're going to give heed to seducing spirits. That's devils and doctrines of devils. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, verse 2. Well, what are the lies? Look at verse 3. Forbidding to marry. And here's another lie of Satan that he's going to tell people. Commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Based on that passage, do you believe that we have freedom to eat anything today in the dispensation of grace? Man, we live in Florida. Man, if you want to catch lizards and fry them up, go for it. You know? My cat goes and I got an outdoor cat. And every once in a while, he'll get one of those, what are they called? The little things he brings to the front porch. Mole. You ever seen a mole root around in there? He'll get one of them things and kill it and bring it right to our doorstep. He's all proud of it. He'll just leave it right there. You know, I mean, if Denise wants to deep fry that thing and eat it, you know, we got the freedom to do it, right? So he says, don't let any man judge you in Jewish dietary laws. Number two in your handout, he says, don't let anybody judge you in Jewish festivals. Jewish festivals. That's what he means when he talks about respect of an holy day or of the new moon. What is that talking about? Holy days, and you can go back to Colossians 2, by the way, if you want to flip back over there. What does he mean when he talks about don't let anybody judge you in holy days? Well, under the Old Testament law, there were three festivals a year in which all Jewish males had to present themselves before the Lord at Jerusalem. Jewish males would go to Jerusalem three times a year, Passover, Tabernacles, and Pentecost. And they would go and they would present themselves to the Lord in worship. He says, don't let anybody judge you in that. Aren't you glad that we don't have to make a trek to Jerusalem three times a year? He says, don't let anybody judge you in the new moons. Now, the new moon, that was the start of the Hebrew month when the moon passed between the earth and the sun and would become invisible, or it would become a narrow crescent. And that was a monthly observance with sacrifices and trumpets and so forth. In 1 Chronicles 23, it talks about the Levites, the priests, how that they would stand every morning and they would offer up burnt sacrifices unto the Lord in the Sabbaths, in the new moons, and on the set feasts. And so this was part of that Old Testament law system, and there was a purpose and a reason behind that for Israel. But Paul said, do not let anybody judge you in that. Now, look at verse 16. He says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the... And by the way, you say, would anybody judge you in new moon today? Remember I told you several weeks ago I came across this guy on the internet. I was doing a little study on the new moons. And this guy, he's got a whole section on his website dedicated to convincing people that they need to keep the celebration of the new moon once a month. And that you have to do this. It's a legalistic thing. You know, yeah, I mean, this stuff still goes on today. But the last thing there in your handout is Jewish Sabbath days. That was the last area. He said, don't let anybody judge you in these Jewish Sabbath days. I'm going to be switching, Mark, over to the white lapel, okay? Just so you know. We on? Okay, good. So there were a whole lot of Sabbath days that were observed within the Old Testament law system. You say, what is that? Well, look in your handout. The weekly Sabbath day was given to the nation of Israel and was a sign of the covenant relationship that God had with the nation of Israel. It was the Sabbath day was a sign of that special covenant relationship that God had with the nation of Israel. Go back with me now to the, keep your bookmarker here in Colossians, and go back to the second book of your Bible, Exodus chapter number 31. And let's read real quick about that. I think it's very important. Exodus 31, and let's begin reading in verse number 12. Exodus 31, verse number 12. All right, Exodus 31, 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of who?
Israel.
Israel. So we know the context here, saying, verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep. For it is a what? Sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Verse 17. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day, notice this is the key, he what? He rested and was refreshed. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. Now, why did he do that? Why did God give to Israel the Sabbath rests? That, why did he give them days in which they could do no work, no labor, and it was to be a complete day of rest? They weren't to be traveling, they weren't to be working, they weren't even to be cooking, they weren't to be gathering manna. It was a day of rest. Why did God do that? What was God's thinking? Here's what it is. God had an original plan in creation whereby God was going to live and God was going to dwell on the earth with mankind in perfect rest, peace, and tranquility. God even marked him off a piece of real estate on the earth called Zion. And God said, that's the place where I'm going to take up my rest with mankind forever. Now, that plan of rest with mankind was interrupted by sin. Guys, have you ever had plans to rest and had those plans interrupted by your wife or your children? You ever settle in to watch a football game or settle in to, you think, I finally get to rest. And have you ever noticed there's like a sensor sometimes you feel like on the backside of you? And when you sit down, that sensor goes off and then your name is called. Have you ever noticed that? Can any guys associate with that? Some of you ladies are like, yeah, I can too. You ladies, bless your hearts. I know you really get it. You know, as soon as you sit down, ladies, it's mom, you know. And sometimes our plans for rest get interrupted, don't they? Well, God had a plan to rest with mankind and to fellowship and take up his rest with them forever. And that plan got interrupted by sin. But let me ask you something. Will that plan on the earth one day be fulfilled? Yes or no? Yes, God is going to bring his rest. He's going to bring peace to the earth. And listen to this. God is going to bring his tabernacle to dwell on the earth. You can read about that over in Revelation 21, where God's going to bring his, he's going to tabernacle on the new earth with mankind. He's going to establish his kingdom on the earth. He's going to, listen, God's going to occupy his eternal resting place in Zion on the earth with mankind. Now, God formed, stay with me now, God formed that nation, the nation of Israel, as the chosen instrument through which God would one day bring about this eternal rest on the, to the earth that's been, of course, interrupted by sin. God had a channel he was going to work through. He had a vessel, and that vessel was the nation of Israel. And in your handout, it says God promised Israel eternal rest in his habitation in Zion. He made that promise to Israel. Go back to Exodus 15 now. Exodus chapter 15. Look at verse 17. Exodus 15, 17. All right, here we go. Look at this. Thou shalt, verse 17, thou shalt bring them in and plant them. Talking about Israel here. Plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. The Bible says God's going to bring Israel in. He's going to plant them. And he's going to bring them to that place that God has made for himself to be able to dwell in with them that his hands have established. In your handout, it says God will come and dwell among them and give Israel, the earth, and himself perfect rest. Now, I got some verses I want you to look at in your handout. Look at Jeremiah 30, verse 10. Therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel. For lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return and shall be. Notice the promise to Israel. He says, you're going to be where? In rest. And be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. Turn your hand out over and go to the next passage. Jeremiah 31, 1 through 3. At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left to the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to what? Rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore thy loving kindness, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Speaking of Israel. This is the promise to his people Israel. In your handout, it says the Sabbath day. Now this is where we're going to connect the dots. This is where we're going to connect this all. We got these days of rest. Then we've got God telling Israel, I'm going to give you a final ultimate rest with me on the earth forever. Now, here's where we connect the dots. Look at what your handout says. The Sabbath day was a weekly reminder and picture of the eternal rest that God has promised to Israel on the earth in the future. Now, when God told Israel, remember my Sabbath days, it wasn't that they were just wake up on Saturday and remember, oh, it's Saturday. It wasn't that. No, there was something of significance that they were to memorialize that day. You say, well, what was it? It was the eternal rest that God had promised them that was going to come out there in the future on the earth. Every Sabbath day was a reminder to that Jew that there would come an ultimate kingdom rest that God was going to give them. And those Sabbath days were constant reminders of really what prophecy points to. And that is that day in which God will take up his rest on the earth, and he's going to achieve that rest through the nation of Israel on the earth in the eternal ages. So it was they were those Sabbaths were reminders. Let me ask them, do you ever need a reminder? Yeah. You know what I found out? If I don't have reminders, you know what I do? I forget. How about you? Anybody in here associate with that? You know, sometimes people come up to church and tell me something, and I'm like, if I don't write it down, I'm going to forget it. I need a reminder. Well, it's just that way in life. This thing's really important to God because, see, God's going to restore what was there in creation, interrupted by sin. God's going to restore that original plan. And he's going to do it through the nation of Israel. And he wanted them to know, this is my sign between me and you that I'm going to do this. And he gave them those Sabbath days as a reminder of what he was going to do. So somebody says to me, Pastor Dan, why don't we observe the Sabbath day? Why don't we observe that Sabbath day, which if you were going to observe it, you would do it on the seventh day of the week. You do it on Saturday. Why don't we do that? Why doesn't the church of today, the body of Christ, why don't we observe the Sabbath day? Why is it a non-issue for us? And clearly it is a non-issue when you read Paul's writings. There are the Ten Commandments, 9 of them Paul reinforced. Nowhere in Paul's 13 epistles where you see him reinforcing the Sabbath day command. In fact, just the opposite. He says, let no man judge you in the Sabbath days. He says in Romans 14, one guy esteems one day above another. Another guy esteems every day alike. He said they both do it unto the Lord. So clearly, the Sabbath day command is a non-issue for the church, for the body of Christ of today. Now, why? Well, the first thing that you have to recognize, this is the most basic thing that you have to realize when you go to your Bible. And you know what that is? That is the church, us, we're not Israel. Now, that's the first thing you got to get through the head. We're not Israel. So, well, what are we? We are the church, the body of Christ, where there is no Jew or Gentile, but we are a new man, the Bible says. We are a new organism that Christ is creating today. The church, the body of Christ. We are not Israel. All right? A large part of Christendom hasn't figured that out yet. They haven't figured out we're not Israel. And so all the different segments out there, many of the different segments of Christendom, they all think they're Israel. They think they've replaced Israel. And that they are the new Israel. They're the Israel now. And it's so funny because, you know, they think, well, okay, we're Israel, so we inherit all those promises and we inherit all those blessings that God was going to give Israel. We get them all. And it's funny, they want to take the blessings and promises, but they want to leave the curses, don't they? There was a whole lot of curses, too, that God had told Israel about. We'll leave the curses, you know. But folks, listen, the Bible's not a buffet. You can't just pick and choose what you want. You know, so if you're Israel, and here's the deal. Anyone you talk to that thinks they're Israel, they're never consistent. They never take it all. They pick and choose the verses that they like and say, oh, well, that's not Israel, that's us. And they pick and choose different parts, but they never take the whole thing. They never take it all. So the first thing to get through your mind when we're talking about the Sabbath day, and it's a sign between God and Israel, clearly, did we read in black and white that the Sabbath day is a sign between God and Israel, yes or no? Okay, then if we're not Israel, then right away I'm starting to get a clue here as to why Paul would have never reinforced that command. In your handout, it says, as believers in the body of Christ, we don't have an earthly hope of an earthly rest as Israel does. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ. The Bible says He has seated us in heavenly places, and that's where we're going to stay. You say, how do you know? Because He tells you in the next verse, Ephesians 2:7, He says, we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show what is the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In the eternal ages to come, we are still in the heavenlies, shining for Jesus as testimonies for Him. So the first thing to get through our mind is the Sabbath day had to do with memorializing the fact God's going to bring an earthly rest to planet Earth, and He's going to do it through Israel. So that's my sign between you. Okay, well, first of all, I realize I'm not Israel. Secondly, I realize my blessings aren't on earth. They're in heavenly places in Christ. I'm complete in Christ. I'm possessing all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That's where my blessings are. And here's the other thing. Aren't you glad to know we're not waiting for rest? Aren't you glad to know that we already have found complete rest in Jesus Christ? We've already got it. We already got it. The work of redemption is finished and complete. And now today, in your handout, it says Christ bids us to believe upon and rest in His finished work. And now today, folks, Christ is our place of rest. Christ is our peace with God. It's not through your works. It's not through your performance. You know what our place of rest is? It's resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And in your handout, it says, we do not rest in a day, we rest in a person, Jesus Christ. We rest in a person. And because we do rest in a person, not a day, you know what that means? That means that we're given the capacity to see every day alike and esteem every day unto the Lord. We are able to esteem all 7 days of the week equally. We're able to do that now because we've already found our rest in Christ Jesus. Go to Romans 14. Romans 14. And let's go down here. We won't read all this for time's sake. He's talking about some people believe you can eat all things. Another guy just eats herbs, and he says, you know, they both do it under the Lord. And then look at verse 5, Romans 14, 5. One man esteemeth one day above another. Now, clearly, in the Old Testament, you were supposed to esteem one day above another. Clearly, in the Old Testament, God set apart one day of the week, and God said, that's my day, that's your day of rest, and that's that. So clearly in the Old Testament, you were to esteem one day, the Sabbath day, above the rest. Now look what Paul says. He says in verse 5, one man esteemeth one day above another. There were still people, of course, at this time, many Jews who had gotten saved, but they still reverenced that Sabbath day. But then he says, another esteemeth every day alike. A lot of Gentiles got saved, and they just esteemed every day alike. And then he says, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Let me ask you a question. If the Sabbath day command was for us today, and if it was in force today, would this have been a good place for Paul to mention that? Yeah. But look what he says in verse 6. He that regardeth the day, okay, you regard one day above another, he regardeth it unto the Lord. He's doing what he thinks is right by God. Then it says, and he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not, you refrain from certain foods. To the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. And then he goes on down here, and he says, verse 10, why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So, we have the ability today, because we've already found our rest in Christ, we have the ability to be able to esteem every day alike. Now, let me ask you a question. If a person desires to abstain from certain foods, and they're like, man, that's bad for you, and I don't think I ought to eat that. I believe that's bad for my health. I believe it's proven that's bad for my health. And I don't believe that that's in my best interest to eat that. Is that okay? Absolutely. What if one person says, you know what? I believe that Sunday is a day above all the others, and I've set that aside a day. I'm not going to mow my grass. I'm not going to wash my car Sunday afternoon. I'm not going to do any work. I'm just going to completely give that day to the Lord from the time I wake up till the time I go to bed. I'm not doing any work. I'm going to go home. I'm going to read my Bible after church. I'm going to pray. I'm not going to do anything on Sunday but focus on the Lord. I'm esteeming that day above all the rest, and I'm giving Him that day completely. Is that okay? Yes or no? Sure. That's fine. All right, but here's where it becomes wrong. Where it becomes wrong is when I shun certain foods because I believe it's bad for my body and I shouldn't eat those things, and I shun certain foods and I see Rich over here and he's pigging out on pork chops for lunch. And I begin to judge him. And I begin to explain to him that, Rich, if you really want to have a deeper spiritual life, and if you really want to be closer to God, and if you really want to do what's right by God and earn His favor, then you will abstain from those pork chops, brother. Now, is that right or wrong? That's wrong. That's wrong. I've had people get upset with me because maybe they drove by my house and they saw me mowing the grass on Sunday afternoon, which I've done, or washing my car, whatever it may be. You know, and the thing is this, if you want to esteem one day above another, you can do that. You have a personal choice in the matter. That is your personal choice. You have liberty to do that. But here's the problem. It's when you want to take that and force feed that down everybody else's throat. Then it becomes legalism, and that's wrong. And in your handout, it says, if any person or religion judges you based on these outward observances, you know, these rituals or these commands that we're talking about, really they're judging Jesus Christ because they're saying that what Christ did on the cross is not enough. We got to add something to it. His work is not sufficient to make us complete in Christ and to seat us in heavenly places. We need something else. And of course, in this dispensation, we do not. Verse 17, go to Colossians now. Go back to our text. Real quickly, I want to try to cover this verse before we go. He said in verse 17, he lists all these Old Testament things, Sabbath days, new moon, holy days, festivals, dietary restrictions. Verse 17, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. You want to know how most people read that? And they just read through it real fast and they think they know what it's saying? Most people in their mind read that as these things were shadows of things that have already come. Is that what it says? People read that as these things were shadows of things that have already been fulfilled. That's not what it says. Paul did not say that these Old Testament observances were shadows of things that are now fulfilled. He said they're shadows of what? Things to come. The Old Testament law with its feasts and ceremonies and Sabbath rest, it was full of shadows of things to come. For who? For Israel. Those types and those shadows are going to find, many of them will find their ultimate fulfillment in Christ coming and bringing His kingdom to this earth. You see, that's why Paul said those Old Testament signs and those Old Testament laws of Israel are shadows of things to come. You know what that tells me? That tells me, wait a minute, then God's not done with Israel. He's not done with that nation. He's going to bring to fruition His plans for them on this earth, His plan for taking up rest with them. He's still going to do that. Paul said that, He said that all Israel shall be saved. And then He said, because this is God's covenant with them. Romans 11. And He said, they are blessed for the Father's sake. He said, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God said what He's going to do with Israel, with that nation. And Paul said, God's going to do it. He's going to do it. And that's why Paul said those Old Testament things are shadows of things that are still going to come. In your handout, it says, these things have nothing to do with us today in the present. They have to do with God's program for Israel in the future. That's why it says they're shadows of things to come. It's speaking of Israel's future kingdom on the earth. For example, the Sabbath day. What did we say? It pointed to an eternal rest for the nation of Israel in that future kingdom on earth when they would be at rest and the earth would be at rest and there'd be no more war. There'd be nobody else coming at Israel. Jerusalem would no longer be a place of war and desolation, but God's going to bring them rest. And so the Sabbath day pointed to that eternal rest. There's no significance for the Christian today at all. We've already found an eternal rest in Jesus Christ. There's a chart here. We'll go ahead and bring that up real quick. And this chart, if we can bring that up, you look at this, and it just kind of summarizes what we covered. The Sabbath days were shadows of things to come for Israel. The Sabbath day command was given to them. We read about that. Now today we're living here in the body of Christ. We're living in the dispensation of grace. And so that whole prophetic program concerning the earth and Israel has been interrupted. And now God's forming a body that's going to occupy the heavenly places and restore them and reveal Christ's glory in the heavenlies. The Sabbath day command is done away in Christ because we rest in a person, not a day. Christ is one day going to come back, though, to the earth. He's going to give that kingdom rest to Israel. The shadow of the Sabbath is fulfilled here when Christ comes back and takes up that rest there in Zion. Israel's kingdom rest on earth will be fulfilled. And that's why he says it's shadows of things to come. But look at verse 17 as we close here. He said, which are a shadow of things to come, but now he's going to bring out here something that's opposite. But the body is of Christ. Wow, that's us. Those Old Testament shadows, they were shadows of things to come for Israel. But the body is of Christ. In your handout, it says we don't need a shadow, we have the substance. We've been made one with Jesus. We've been brought into an intimate union of oneness, complete oneness with Jesus Christ. Folks, we lack nothing at all. As part of His body, we have a present living union with Jesus Christ. And listen, that's the glory of this dispensation that we live in today. Paul said the glory of the riches of the mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We've been brought into a living union of oneness with Jesus Christ. We have a complete intimate union of oneness with Him. And in your handout, it says we don't need Old Testament shadows that pointed Israel to a future day in which their Messiah would rule and reign on earth and give them rest. We have Christ in our hearts as a present reality. Can I get an amen, church? So why do I want to mess around in the shadows when I have the reality already in Jesus Christ? I have a picture here of my lovely wife, Denise. What would you think if you saw me just a hug in this picture? You'd be like, Dan, you're crazy. Because, Dan, you don't have to hug a picture. You don't have to hug a shadow. Why? I got the real thing right there. I can hug the real thing. Folks, listen. We don't need the shadows because we got the real thing. We got Christ in us, the hope of glory. Remember, the theme of this whole passage is what? We are complete in Christ. So in your handout, Paul says, tell the religious legalist to hit the road. Because you are, and you know what the blank is, what? You're complete in Christ. Amen, church. Woo, glory. That's good stuff. All right, verses 16 and 17 are covered. Next week, we're going to get into verse 18, and we're going to talk about this thing of worshiping of angels and intruding into these matters. All right, so that'll be really good. We'll cover that in detail next Wednesday night.